Let's commit this time of the word to the Lord. Father, again, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, each time we come, Lord, we just come wanting to worship you. We just come bare before you. And Lord, you respond to our worship. You respond to our needs. You touch us. You minister to us. Lord, even in ways in which we're not fully aware sometimes, but Lord, we just know that we have encountered you. Lord, we sense your peace. We sense, Lord, just the release of things in our own hearts, in our own spirits. And so, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for those that are in situations where they need to have a breakthrough. And so, Lord, we thank you for breakthrough. Lord, we thank you for sometimes a drastic breakthrough, but we also thank you for the breakthrough that comes sometimes in gradual ways. But nonetheless, oh God, you are the one bringing us through. Lord, we ask you to continue to speak to us, Lord, through your word this morning. Lord, continue to open our hearts, open our eyes, open our understanding, give us insights, and help us, oh God, to be a people who would follow you no matter what's happening all around us. Lord, we pray through this time of the word that Christ and Christ alone be seen. He would receive all the glory. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen. So I thought with all that's going on and has been going on for the last couple of years around us that it might be appropriate to share on some of these things from Scripture. So I'm starting a new series. I'm calling it Present and Future Things. Present and Future Things. To help us to, again, just put in context of Scripture what's really going on around us and to help us to know how to respond in these times. So I'm starting out with a caution that all of us really should know. Because in these times, you're going to have all sort of things happening. And a couple of things here in this caution. One comes out of Deuteronomy 29:29. Here the Lord told him from way back then, he said, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belongs to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. So God was saying to Israel and to us that there are some things that he holds dear to himself that are secret. Those are, put it this way, his business. But the things that he reveals to us, those things are not just for us, not just for me, but for me to teach people around me, share with people around me, share with my children until the Lord will return. And so we have so much that God has revealed to us that we need to understand it so we can pass it on and help our children and help ourselves to really worship the Lord and follow his word. Because that's the heart of God, really, is to draw us to himself and help us to understand his word and to be able to follow him. So one of the things that is not revealed and will not be revealed, it comes out of Matthew 24 and verse 36. This is what Jesus said to his disciples when they were asking about his return. Verse 36 says, no one knows about that day or hour. No one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So this is one of those things, return of Christ, that the Father has kept to himself, close to his bosom, that not even the angels in heaven know. So if an angel comes and tells you that this is what's going to happen on this day, you can just know that the angel is not being sent by God. So why that's important is because throughout the time, throughout history, even last several years, they've had people coming along the scene and they're saying things that the Lord is going to return on this particular date. I remember a man named Harold Camping saying the Lord's going to return on this date. I remember when I was a younger person reading a little booklet back in 1988, 88 reasons why the Lord will return in 1988. Good human reasons. Like, I remember one of them which said that, you know, Israel was reestablished as a nation in 1948. And the Lord says that this generation shall not pass away before he returns. And a generation is 40 years. So that brings us to 1988. He must return in 1988. And somehow they just totally disregard the scripture that says no one knows the day or the hour. Well, you and I know so many years later that that was not so. But for some reason, people, I don't know what it is, they want to be precise. I met a man here in Lebanon a few years ago who said to me, he can tell me the exact time when the Lord is going to return. He knows when the tribulation started, and he can figure it out, and he knows the exact time. And I said, well, don't you know the scripture that says no one knows the day or the hour? He says, okay, I might not know the exact day, but I can tell you the week. Of course, the time period that he had in mind has come and passed. And so, friends, when I hear these things, I don't even bat an eye. I don't even waste my time. And so, by the way, let me give you a word of caution. Nobody waste my time either and come and tell me what so-and-so said about when this is going to happen. Nobody waste my time. Nobody waste your time. Nobody listen to them. Because the Bible is pretty clear that nobody knows the day or the hour. The Lord gives us some things to do, and that's what we must focus on. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, when the Lord was spending his last few moments with the disciples, Peter asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus says, Peter, it's not for you to know the time or the seasons. In other words, Peter, that's not your business. Your business is to preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's your assignment. That's your agenda. Your agenda is not to come and try and figure out the exact moment that Israel is going to be restored and the kingdom is going to be there and all sort of stuff. So it's just a word of caution for us, because when all these things happen, somehow these people come from out of the woodwork and they come up with all of their stuff, and you can get distracted, you can be led down some pathway, all of, you know, I'm telling you. And there's oftentimes a little grain of truth here and a grain of truth there, and they take the two grains of truth and put it together and come up with a nice theory, sometimes a conspiracy type theory. So there's some elements of truth in it, and you can spend your time wasting looking at those things rather than doing what the Lord has called you and me to do. So the signs I'm talking about, discerning the signs, these signs will characterize this church age. And in Matthew, Jesus said it's going to be like, when you see some things, it's like the beginning of birth pains. And from what I understand about birth pains, when they start out, you know, at a certain what? Frequency and intensity, and then gradually increases and increases and increases until you reach a time for delivery. And so it's a similar thing that these signs are going to be out throughout the church age, but as we get closer to the return of the Lord, the frequency is going to increase. The intensity is going to get more severe. And so, you know, that is going to help us to know we're even closer than before, because you can see it happening more frequently and more intense. And so when those things start to happen, you and I need to know how to respond. You and I need to know, well, Lord, what do you expect of your church? What do you expect of me as a member of your church, as your son, as your daughter? So I thought I'd take a particular approach, first looking at a passage in Revelation, because part of the challenge for many Christians is that we really don't know how to read the book of Revelation. Some people don't even think that book is for us, that book will become important after the church has been raptured, even though it was written to the church, and the scripture says that there's a blessing for those who obey what is written in it in terms of the church. But I believe there are some ideas, some principles that are there in the book of Revelation that can help us. And we'll touch on some of these things at other times in this series. But this morning I want to look at this passage in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, starting at verse 2. It's talking about the breaking of the seals. Verse 2 says, I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider had a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. Then another horse came out, a fiery red one, The rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider's name was Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. So, the idea here is that certain signs, as I said, will characterize the church age until there's an ultimate, final move of these signs that come just before the Lord returns. And so people read this and they say, "Well, that's not for the church age, or it's not for my time." And they don't realize that there's a pattern here. There's some things here that will characterize the church age that you can benefit from. Rather than trying to pinpoint it to a specific time, if you realize that the Lord is saying, these things are going to happen. Some people think the rider on the white horse is the Lord returning, the Messiah. And so for them, we don't need to read any further. But the problem I have with that idea is that, well, when the Lord returns, he's going to set up his kingdom, and there shouldn't be any other horses coming after him. He should be the final one, as we see in Revelation chapter 19, when he's talking about him coming back and establishing his kingdom. I believe, and one of my Mennonite brethren teachers taught me some of these things. he also taught me about some of what the Mennonites did. Some of the Mennonites back in the early days thought the Lord was coming back at a certain time, sold their properties, went up to a mountain and waited for the Lord to return. Of course, they were sorely disappointed. But it's to see that this is perhaps more, this white horse is perhaps more the spirit of conquest. That through time, you're going to find people being raised up. These Hitler-type people. These people who want to conquer nations, conquer people, riding out to conquer. That's what we see right now, that this Putin, that something has risen up in this man that has caused him to think he can ride out and conquer and to reestablish whatever he thinks he's reestablishing. It's the same spirit that's at work. And so following this spirit of conquest is this red horse which speaks of bloodshed. It speaks of death. Which speaks of people killing each other. Which speaks of peace, because when there's death and conquest, peace is taken from the earth. Fear and anxiety become commonplace. So it's not surprising then for you and I to realize that as whatever is happening in Europe brings fear and anxiety, not just to us, but all across the globe. This fear and anxiety. What is this person going to do? What is he going to do next? How can he be like this? It's part of the thing that characterizes this age. If you go back in history and look at all of these people that have been raised up, that have this spirit of conquest, you're going to find that there is peace taken from the earth and there's bloodshed as men turn against each other. Men who are not too far in relationship. If you think about the Russians and the Ukrainians, they're not all that far apart. It's probably uncle shooting uncle over here. They all have some common heritage. But the spirit of conquest rises up and causes men to turn against each other. Soldiers shooting innocent people. People are trying to escape. It's that spirit that's at work. And will be at work, will get more intense and more frequent until the time when the Lord actually returns. And then following that, or as a part of that, is a rider on the black horse, which speaks of economic hardships, speaks of famine, speaks of things getting more difficult. It says a quart of wheat for a day's wages. You know? In other words, a little bit of wheat and you have to put your whole entire day's wages just for a little bit of wheat. It talks about a three-quarter barley for a day's wages. In other words, it's inflation. All because of what's going on, you have inflation, massive inflation. And so again, this is something that characterizes this age in which we live and will happen whenever you have the spirit of conquest that goes forth. I'm amazed when I read the scripture to realize that all these things happening around me are already there in scripture. I don't even need to actually pay too much attention to the news because the scripture tells me that these things are going to happen. They didn't have gas back then. So John didn't write down the price of gas going up to whatever, sky high. But when the price of gas goes sky high, the price of wheat and bread goes sky high too. So you and I as a church, we shouldn't be like, what on earth is happening? We should realize this is part of what happens in this age. This is part of, and so people come up with our theories. Yes, I don't know who can benefit from it, but I know the way men are, they will benefit from this. There will be some who benefit. But the reality is that these things will characterize this age and era in which we find ourselves. And then the fourth horse is a pale horse. It says a pale green horse. It's basically the color of death. And so its rider is called Death and Hades that follows close behind him. And this now is mass murder, mass death. This is not just a little one over here killing this one, but it's on a massive scale. Ultimately, it will be a quarter of the earth that is killed. But until that time, you're going to have this mass murder taking place. You have a crazy man just bombing buildings where people live. Thousands of people being killed. It's right there in the Bible. For you and me to understand. So we don't end up being appalled and like, oh, what on earth? Everything is out of control. No, the Lord is not surprised. There's a picture and a pattern there for us already in Scripture. So I thought I'd share that first. And then to talk about some of the signs of the times in which we live. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 26. It says, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he promises, once more I'll shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things so that what cannot be shaken may remain. So again, throughout the church age, you're going to have periods of shaking until there's a one last final shaking. And so there's a pattern that is going to be there that the Lord is going to shake things up. And his reason is in verse 28. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, so the Lord allows things to happen so there's a shaking. People put all their confidence in their finances, and suddenly in the midst of all of this drama, you find that the stock market drops. You find that the value of things lose their value. And you have economic hardship. You have there's a shaking where it just went through a pandemic, which shake the entire healthcare system. I mean, you have shaking of every system that can be shaken, so that the only thing that can't be shaken would stand out, which is the kingdom of God. So you can shake, Lord, shake. Do whatever you want to do, Lord. Those who are part of the kingdom will remain steadfast and firm because we are in a kingdom that cannot be shaken and we know who our God is. We know who is ultimately in control. So there's going to be a shaking. You put your trust in men, there's going to be a shaking. Put your trust in political systems, there's going to be a shaking. So that only that which cannot be shaken will be remain. But I like the last part of verse 28. He says, since we're receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, this is how we ought to respond. Let us be thankful. And worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, because our God is a consuming fire. So for the people of God, when there's a shaking, when things get difficult, our response really ought to be one of thankfulness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I have a Father. Thank you, I know who you are. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your goodness. Our response ought to be a response of worship, as we did this morning. In the midst of whatever shaking, we know who our God is. That he cannot be shaken, that his kingdom cannot be shaken. And so you and I, from Psalm 91, need to find ourselves under the shadow of the Almighty, where nothing will cause us to worry. It says the arrow that comes by daytime won't affect us, because we're in the shadow of the Almighty. There's a pandemic. Oh, there's a time to be pressing into the Lord, to be worshiping him, to be magnifying him, because he is worthy. So there's always a response from the church, which is to lift the name of the Lord high. Let's go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 21. Am I coming through? No, I am. Okay, I guess. So you won't hear me all along? Do I need to repeat myself? So, many Christs will come. You go on YouTube and you find several of them are out there. But the one part of this verse that is important, it says, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near, do not follow them. You see that part of the verse? And the time is near, do not follow them. Now, he's not saying that in a general sense, the return of Christ is not near. I mean, because he's telling them that, you know, you're going to see these signs. But he's talking about people who are going to try and tell us some specifics. You know, he's coming back in 3 months. He's coming back in this specific time. You need to be a part of my group so you can know what's happening. He's saying, don't follow them. Don't waste your time. Don't allow yourself to be deceived, church. Because they're going to come. So, when I hear them pop up on the scene, I don't even bat an eye because, oh yeah, that's what the Bible said. They're going to turn up. Verse 9, when you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Now that word for revolutions, which NIV have there, is a word that really means uprisings. It really means disturbances, that in the New American Standard Version uses. It's a word that is talking about upheaval in society, that robs society of its peace. I think it's a word that describes perhaps some of the things that took place in this country not so long ago, when you had all of these, everywhere got people demonstrating, but it's not just a peaceful thing. It became an uprising, it became violent, it became people burning down people's buildings, some people not so smart thinking they can take over a city and run it by themselves, all sort of stuff. And when you step back and realize, but the Bible said that's going to happen too. You're going to have these uprisings. It can also mean coups. You're going to have all of these things happening before the Lord returns. So, why am I surprised? Why am I caught up and panicking when the Lord already told the church, you and me, that before the Lord returns, these things are going to happen. And these things will become more frequent before his actual return. Is what I'm saying, saints? The Bible already told us about all of these things. But because many of us don't really pay attention when we read the Bible, we read it, but we just go on to the next thing. So we miss it. So there will be disturbances, he says, right after that, do not be frightened. Why is he telling us not to be frightened? Why would he tell us not to be frightened? Because it's natural to be frightened, which means that the people who don't know God will be frightened. So one of the things that then that's going to characterize this time is there's going to be fear in society. You follow what I'm saying, people? There will be fear in society. So you and I should not give way to the fear that's all around us. The fear that comes through the television screen. The fear that comes from the unsafe person who doesn't know God. You go to work, you go to school, and you hear them panicking. You and I should not give way to that, because we know who our God is, and we know he is taking care of us. He has never failed us yet. So the price of gas might go to a day's wages, but you know what? My God will still take care of his people. How many understand what I'm saying? The Bible tells me all about it. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In other words, the word for nation is ethnos, which means ethnic groups will rise against ethnic groups. Kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, not just little tremors. Great earthquakes. I don't know how many have been paying attention to realize there's a lot of earthquakes that have happened in recent times. Famines, pestilences in various places, fearful events, and great signs from heaven. So the church, we shouldn't then be surprised. These things are going to happen. I put here in my notes pestilence or plagues, and I list several things that has happened in recent times. SARS, the MERS, Ebola, swine flu, COVID-19, HIV. There's a new HIV strain that some people are panicking about. The Asian flu, Hong Kong flu, bird flu, all sort of stuff will happen in this day and age. So you and I shouldn't be surprised if you go home tonight and you hear that there's something else. Why? It's part of this age. You see? So you and I need not live and should not live in fear and anxiety. We need to be able to lay hold, as my wife shared last week, of the peace of God in the midst of whatever is happening, knowing that our Lord is still in control. The church will be persecuted. That's what the Lord went on to say there in chapter 21, verse 12, before this they'll lay hands on you and persecute you. In Matthew's version, Matthew goes on to say that there will be lawlessness will increase. Luke doesn't have lawlessness written there, but Matthew has it, lawlessness. Now, many times people don't understand what the word lawless really means. From the Bible standpoint, as far as God is concerned, His word is what is law. See, so you can have societies that people are following laws. There are no problems. But it can still be a lawless society. You see? Because they're not living by God's law. We can have a law that allows for the murdering of children, unborn children. That's a lawless society because you're not following God's law. You see? So you can have apparent peace even in places like China, but it still is lawless because they're not living by God's word. And so that's what the Bible talks about when it talks about lawless. It's not talking about human law. It's talking about God's law, where people totally disregard God's law. So we can have it okay for same-gender marriage, but that's lawlessness. Because you're ignoring God's law and living and doing what you think is right in your own eyes. And it says then that these things shall increase before the Lord returns. And I've seen it, you have seen it, if you take the time to look, in the last few years, even in this country, all lawlessness has increased. It doesn't mean that we should lay back and play dead. We still need to pray, we still need to be salt and light in our society. But we still need to realize that before the Lord returns, there's going to be an increase in lawlessness. Let's skip down to verse 25 because time is going. It says, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, all sort of eclipse, red moons, all sort of stuff. On earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Is that there? So I started to meditate on that. And you know what I realized? If there's such a thing as global warming, there it is. The roaring and tossing of the sea, increasing tsunamis, increasing hurricanes, all sort of stuff that men are perplexed. They don't really know what's going on, but they try to find an answer to it. But they really don't know what's going on. You and I know what's going on. It's a sign of the end of the age that the Lord is going to return soon. You see, friends? So again, it's there in the Bible. How come I didn't see it before? It's amazing. Oh, help us. Verse 28. Verse 27 says, at that time they'll see the Son of Man. No. Verse 26 says, men will faint again from terror, see, anxiety, fear, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for heavenly bodies will be shaken. There will be meteoroids and asteroids and all sort of stuff. Now we're trying to find ways of turning them back in space. At that time, they'll see the Son of Man in the cloud with the power and great glory. Now Christ comes back and says, when these things begin to take place, when you start to see these things happening, what should you do? He says, stand up, lift up your head, because your redemption draws nigh. In other words, this is not a time to have your head down and to be worried and to be depressed and to be distressed and to say, oh, what's happening? Oh, it's so crazy. No, it's a time to lift your head high and to give God glory and say, Lord, you are in control. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. It's time to really be able to give thanks, as the writer of Hebrews says. The older you get, the more you appreciate that. I'm so glad I'm so close to going to be with the Lord anyway. I can look forward to going to be with the Lord. Lord, take care of my kids. I know you can do a better job than I can. coming down to verse 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Then my wife read this verse last week. Be careful, or your heart will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. Because of what's happening, people get so anxious about things, and, well, I need to get me another job because there's no way I can pay all the bills, and get so caught up in that that we miss what's really happening all around us. And become full of anxiety and fear and worry. So this is our response, verse 35. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. You can't escape it. But always, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that's about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So Christ said to the disciples, another part of your response in this time is to be people of prayer. It's time to press into the very presence of God. It's time to know the Lord. In Daniel said, talking about this time, in Daniel 11, verse 32, he says, the people who know their God, this is the King James Version, the people who know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. Some version says, they shall be strong and do mighty things. They shall be strong, they shall be firm and be able to resist the enemy. But it's those who know their God. It's not just anybody, it's the people who know their God, who press in to know Him, who spend time in His presence, who spend time in the secret place of the Most High God, who's abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. They are the ones. They are the ones that the psalmist in Psalm 27, when the earth is going crazy, and when there's storms and floods and the enemy comes against him, he goes into the presence of the Lord and says, only one thing I want, Lord, and that is to be in your presence, to inquire before you, Lord, to understand who you are and to see your beauty. That's all I'm interested in. In these times, God is looking for people who will press into him. Be alert, as it says there in Luke 21 and 36. This version says to watch. It means to be aware, but it also means to press into the Lord. And to pray. Pray for deliverance. Pray for strength. So that you might be able to stand during those times. Earlier on in Luke, he says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Luke 18. And he says, men always ought to pray and not to faint. Which tells me in the last days, men will faint out of fear and anxiety. But there will be a people who will press into the Lord and be able to lay hold of his peace, lay hold of his joy, lay hold of the Lord himself. We have to learn to pray for the kingdom of God to be established in the lives of people. We have to learn to pray for other people as they go through stuff. In this time, we have to learn to pray for the people who are in Ukraine. We have to learn to pray for the church, both in Russia and in Ukraine. We have to learn to pray for the people of God in the midst of this to know what God is saying to them, how they should function. It's a time to seek the face of the Lord. It's a time to be able to lay hold of his peace. Joyce, are you the one coming back? It's time, as Caroline shared last week in Philippians, to be anxious about nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to lay hold of divine peace. It's time to remember what God has done in the past. As she shared from Psalm 78 about the sons of Ephraim who forgot about what God did and therefore they backed away from the battle. This is not a time to back away from the battle. It's a time to press forward. He gave us one commission, which is to share the good news of the kingdom. In Matthew it says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And so your job and my job in the midst of whatever is going on is to say to people, there is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Here's the good news of the kingdom, of the increase of this kingdom of peace. There shall be no end. They have our feet shed with preparation of the gospel of peace. There is a place where you can stand with God and you can stand. And you can see God miraculously provide. And if your life is taken, it's gained anyway. And so you and I in the midst of this, it's a great opportunity to say to people, do you know God? Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that God will provide for you if you are one of his children? It's a great opportunity, saints. Don't keep it a secret. Don't keep your mouth shut. Let them know that there is a solution, that there is an answer. It's a great opportunity. When things are good, when things are prosperous and people can buy what they want, they don't want to listen to us. I saw this as we went into the trailer parks, giving out goods. One year we'd go and people are asking us for second and third bags of food. A couple of years later they're like, well, I don't really need that. Why don't you give that to somebody who needs it? I'm sure if I went now, they'd like, can I get a second and third bag? Because they can't afford the groceries in Walmart anymore. It's a time, saints, for us to open our mouths and to say to people that there's a God who loves you. There's a time to let people know that there's a God who wants to take care of them. It's time for us to share the good news of the kingdom. And the last thing I will say here, coming out of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the shaking is going to take place. And he said to them earlier, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some people do, but encourage one another even more as you see that day of the Lord's return approaching. So when things get rough, it's a time for us to be encouraging one another. It's a time for us to come together and to exalt the name of the Lord and to declare the goodness of God. It's not the time for us to back off. It's not the time for us to say, well, I just, you know, things are so bad, I don't want to discourage anybody else. No, it's time for you to come together with the people of God and exalt the name of the Lord. Because you are part of the same kingdom, and yes, he's still in control. Let us stand. Friends, the things that have come upon the world in the last 2 or so years, the Bible already told us about them. Nothing that is not there we can't explain from scriptures. It's right here. It's scripture has been fulfilled before our eyes. God's response is, I'm still in control. Our response is to magnify the name of the Lord, to worship him with awe and reverence, to be thankful. Our response is to share the good news of the kingdom of Almighty God. Our response is to press into the Lord, to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and to declare of the Lord that he's our refuge and our strength, a strong tower. To all who run into him, they are safe and they are saved and they are covered under the blood. Our response is to encourage one another, to support each other. Those who have much to share with those who have little. That's what the body does. That's our response in the midst of these last days in which we live. is not to try and figure out, well, is this Gog or Magog? I don't know. It could be. It could be. So what? I still need to be sharing the good news of the kingdom. Let us bow our heads this morning. I'm going to ask us to pray one for another. In twos and in threes, let's pray for each other that God would strengthen us in this time. Pray one for another. And if you can also, yeah, let's pray one for another that God would strengthen us during this time, that God would cause our eyes to be upon Jesus Christ and not upon the waves around us. So that we're not tossed to and fro by the news that comes across our television screen or comes across our computer screen. But instead, our eyes are focused upon the Lord. He's the one that our heart really desires. So let's just take a moment and pray one for another. And if you sense somebody needs, is going through a hard time, just pray for them that God will supply all of their needs. If you need personal ministry or people to join with you in prayer, after we're finished here, you can come up front and there'll be people up here to pray with you. We're going to close in prayer, and in my prayer, I'm going to pray also for the church in Ukraine and in Russia. Father, again, we thank you this morning for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you that you didn't just leave us unprepared, but Lord, your word is there showing us, helping us to get some sort of insights into what we can expect in these last days. Lord, that you already foretold these things. And so, Lord, I thank you that you've given us also our response, which is to draw close to you, which is to come into the presence of the Almighty, which is to find that place of grace around your throne which is to keep our eyes focused upon you and to share the good news of who you are. Father, I pray for each person here and those who are hearing me online, that Father, you might strengthen us, keep our eyes focused upon Christ. Father, I pray that you might supernaturally meet every need of that we may have. Every need, Father God, more than we actually need, Lord, more abundance. We thank you, God, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of high inflation. Thank you for meeting our needs according to your riches, which are in glory. And Father, help us, Lord, to see the opportunities before us to share the good news. Father, help us not by default to be sharing other theories. Help us to share that which is true, that can save a person's life. Father, we lift up your church in the Ukraine and church in Russia and church in Poland, Lord. Father, I pray you might strengthen your people, that their faith would fail them not. Lord, your people will not allow the things around them to bring division. But Father, your people might see that we are called first to love you and to love each other. And so Father, I pray you might strengthen the faith of your church. Draw your church to yourself, O mighty God. May your church be a public example of what it means to live in love with one another, in harmony with each other, to be one. Father, help your church to reach out to those who are in need and to share the resources that they may have with those who are in need. Father, we lift up the nation of Ukraine, O Father. Lord, many have been displaced. And Father, I pray you might lead these displaced people to your church, to your children who can share the love of God, the love of Christ with them. Father, I pray, O God, that you might meet every need of these refugees who have lost everything, O God, suddenly. That you might still meet their need and you might still reveal to them Christ. Father, we ask that out of this rubble, out of this mess, you might bring forth good things. In the name of Jesus Christ, that you might turn this thing around. Father, I pray for the leaders of Russia, including the president, oh God, to put them into your hands. And Lord, we pray, let your kingdom come and your will be done in their lives and in their situation. Father, I pray you might reveal your awesome presence to them. That Father, that the emperors and the kings, oh God, in the Old Testament, in the times of Babylon, who had an encounter with you from Nebuchadnezzar to Darius, that Father, these men might have encounters with you, mighty God. And so, Lord, as we leave here, Lord, we ask you to go with us. Watch over us. Protect us from harm. Protect us from danger. Continue to draw us unto yourself, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, and amen.